Good morning, Wake Up HEC. Cris Oviedo here with you in Live with Cris. It is Monday morning, Monday, September 27th. This year is, you know, really going by quickly. It's fall. It definitely feels like fall out there if you're going to be out and about. If you're watching this show on our TV station after it's broadcast, or if you're catching it later, welcome and thank you for joining us. We appreciate you coming in today. And if you're catching this live, drop us a comment, drop us a like, and share this with your friends and family. Today, we have a very special conversation. So for those of you who don't know, here at HEC, this week is an important week. This is the week that our current president, Dr. Kate Hetherington, is getting ready to retire. This is her last week here at HEC. And, you know, when I was thinking about what kind of programming, unfortunately, she couldn't join me this week. She's busy, but she will be around. So there are many opportunities this week for community, staff, students, everybody to come and interact with her. So as I was thinking, you know, what can I do to honor Dr. Kate Hetherington, I thought about, you know, one of our previous conversations that we had where she mentioned that education and being an active participant of your education, it's really, really important. And she told me about how her story began in a community college and, you know, how her steps began to build from there. So I took inspiration from that conversation, and my guest today, it's Maheen Ahmed. She goes by Mia, and she is our current Howard Community College's SGA president. And I'm really excited to have you here and be sharing with this space with you, Mia, because again, you know, I thought about Dr. Hetherington's career. I thought about ways to celebrate her. And I thought, what better way than to have a conversation with somebody who is starting her career, who is, you know, a student here at HEC, has so much to look forward to, building steps, being SGA president. So I thank you and I welcome you to our show today. And I just want to start opening by asking you to tell me a little bit about yourself, about your background, and what is it that you enjoy the most when you have some free time? So thank you for joining me and welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here with you guys. So I am currently the basic stuff. I am a general studies major. I'm working at SGA. So my life has kind of just been filled with student life and getting to know a lot about HCC. My family is first generation. So it is, education is a really, really big deal. And at the age of 23, I consider myself to be somebody who took the non-traditional path per se. And just here at HEC, as somebody who is seen as non-traditional, I've been accepted, been given so much opportunity, been given so much validation where education is something that I really, really look forward to. And I would say, like, maybe when I was in high school, I didn't as much just because there wasn't something motivating me. And HCC has been amazing with all of that. Free time, I would say this fall, I don't really have a lot of free time. So anytime I do, I really just like spending time with my family and friends. I cannot ask for more, 100%.
I figure being the SGA president, you probably didn't have a whole lot of free time. And that's why I asked you that question, because I just wanted to get an insight of, you know, what it is like to be the SGA president. Now, before we talk about that, though, I was reading a little bit about, you know, you had a nice little write-up, a little bio per se on our HCC page when you were running for president. And then on there, you said that you came back to HCC in 2020 to clean up your GPA. I want to talk about that. I want us to concentrate on that for a little bit. Because one, you know, I want to learn what inspired you to come back. But I also want to know, you know, where you come from, maybe academically, right? I mean, that cleanup of your GPA tells me that maybe there were some issues there before. And how do you go from that to becoming the SGA president?
So when I was 18, I'm going to try to condense this. When I was 18, I came to HCC and I chose a major that, you know, I chose pre-med and it burned me out. I ended up being put on academic probation. I ended up not wanting to come to classes and just working. And at one point, you know, there, I was on academic probation, so I couldn't come to school. And at that point in my life, I was just really demotivated, demotivated from pursuing anything. So long story short, I applied to an internship in Madrid and I moved out to Madrid for a summer. And this was probably one of the biggest risks I've ever taken. And the fact that I was like very successful in this risk and just kind of enjoyed life again, I made the decision to come back to the US and I was like, I'm going to clean up my GPA. It's going to take some time. And it's definitely taken some time. But you know, it was time to take like that one risk of moving to Madrid and things going really well made me think, okay, like let's try academics again. My parents came to the US for me and my sister to pursue our education. Let's just try. So I came back to HCC, spring of 2020. I was only allowed to take two classes. And that year of 2020, I retook all the classes I had previously failed and I cleaned up my GPA to a 4.0. And I did not realize like in academia how many rewards there are for getting a really good GPA because I had never been a student who had that. I was asked to join lots of like honor societies. I was given tons of scholarships and just like through those little bits of support and those little bits of validation, just saying like, you can keep going, you can do this, pushed me to want to be part of the HCC community, which is why when somebody told me like, hey, you should definitely try for SGA president, I was like, you know, why not? Like, I feel like I've been on this campus long enough and I know so much about it and I definitely care about it a lot. So why not? So here I am this spring.
It takes courage to do what you just did. I mean, you said you took a big risk. Now that took you, you know, to a different place in the world. But you also mentioned something. You said your parents came here to give you guys an education. If you don't mind me asking, give us a little bit more about that background. Where's your family from?
Sure. We are from Bangladesh and my parents came here on a visa when I was about 3 years old. And, you know, they definitely struggled a lot and they made the ultimate sacrifice by leaving all their siblings and family back home in Bangladesh and coming here to the US to pursue better opportunity, but mainly like to pursue education for me and my sister. And I didn't appreciate it when I was younger. I didn't acknowledge it when I was younger, but at this age, I definitely acknowledge like, they could have had a much easier life if they stayed back home in Bangladesh, but they came here and chose to struggle in the US simply so to give their kids a better opportunity and a better future. And without a doubt, like thinking about that sacrifice makes me motivated every single day. That's really the gist of it.
What does it mean to you to be that first generation, right? You just said that you're first generation here in the States, navigating education by yourself. Has HCC made it easier? Has it been, you know, a good place for you to come and find that information? Because I kind of share that a little bit of that story. So I'm originally from Ecuador, you know, didn't have my family there to kind of like guide me as figuring out how school worked and how it went from high school to college. So I struggle just to understand the system. I'm wondering if you connect with that. I wonder if, and I know you grew up here. I didn't grow up here. I came here after graduating high school back in my country. So I wonder if you had that same experience because you lived here, you came with your parents. They wanted to give you the best education, the best possible opportunities. But I'm sure they found that navigating that system of opportunity can be really, really difficult when you don't understand it. Maybe the language was a barrier, and you know there's so many intersectionalities there with other barriers that come up in the land of opportunity. So I wonder if maybe you can talk a little bit about that experience, that lived experience that you have.
No, 100%. I mean, it's navigating something like the basics of student FAFSA, student forms, vaccination forms. This isn't their first language. This is my first language, but I've never learned to do something that technical. Well, are like, there's just so many layers. Like, are they going to work their jobs, or are they going to sit down, try to figure out what these complicated tax forms, complicated online websites are asking them? What do they do? Oh, if they can't do it, then I have to do it. But I've never done this before. So how do we go about it? And I will say, like, HCC has been so empathetic of that. They have been so empathetic of, A, all three of us have never done this before. B, these are actually really, really technical forms that, like, are very, very sensitive. And it makes this, it like, the system of just, like, getting to one step from A to B is just so unbelievably complicated sometimes. So HCC has been really, really empathetic with, like, giving A, if it's like a financial aid officer, like running us through steps, if it's a website where we can read a blog on how they did it or how there's an easier way to access. I mean, it takes a lot of work if you've never done this before. And just navigating that system is something that takes a lot of patience, but honestly, a lot of support of each other. Like, okay, let's just get through this. It's 11 p.m. Like, we all want to go to bed. Let's do something, you know, if we can't get it now. And yeah, navigating that system, anybody who does it, a lot of people here at ACC do it, and a lot of people here struggle with it. And I think there's kind of a bond with, like, hey man, like, yeah, I couldn't figure it out. Yeah, you couldn't figure it out either. Okay. Like, it's a great,
but you know, I'm really glad that you guys are talking about it, because I can tell you that I felt that I couldn't really open up about that. Like, I felt like people really understood what that process was like, and that I was kind of like left out. You know what I mean? Like, I was alone in this process. So I'm glad to hear that you guys are talking about this amongst yourselves. And I think that shows a change in how we act as a community. And I want you to talk to that, you know, your generation. And I know you said you're 23 years old, and you probably feel like you're one of the older students in many of your classes here at HEC, or maybe that hasn't been your experience. You know, I want you to talk about that experience of the non-traditional student. I was a non-traditional student too, but I was, you know, I had kids already. I had many other responsibilities already on my back. So I took a little longer than you did to come back. So talk to us about, you know, how HEC helps non-traditional students, what that experience is like, because maybe somebody's listening, somebody's watching right now, and they're like, you know what, I applaud you, Mia, for having come back and trying to clean up your GPA. I also had a really bad GPA, you know, when I was younger, but going back to school is not for me. Why would you say to somebody who's sitting out there today, it is for you, and here at HEC, you can certainly do that?
So when it comes to thinking about, oh, if you're a non-traditional student, if you're a little bit older, if you're a little bit different, that's just in your mind. Like, me saying I'm a non-traditional student is just in my mind. Because here at HCC, there's so much diversity in age, in age, in different people who are in different walks of life. There are mothers who do really well. There are fathers who do really well. There are retired people who do really well. And even if you don't fall in that category and your story is different, it's the same playing field for everybody. And I can guarantee you that, like, nobody, like me being a little bit older, that has not if I just work hard, that hasn't kept me away from any opportunity. That hasn't kept me away from any sorts of, it just hasn't kept me away from any sort of opportunity whatsoever. Because here, HCC really works to do something for everybody, and is very, very accommodating to people's situations, no matter how unique they be. And if you're somebody who is intimidated by coming back to school because you think academia isn't for you per se, I would say, like, give it a chance. Give it a chance and really think about, like, what you want to do, what you want to pursue. And just know at a community college like HCC, they are, the faculty here is here to support you no matter what, you know? Like a couple days ago, I was watching somebody who, their English wasn't their first language. And like they were having a hard time understanding, but a staff member who did speak that language came and they helped and they assisted. And it was really, really nice to see. And that, like, that's not that unique of a situation. Like, here, the faculty is here simply because they care. Like, they care about the students and they want to see people from different walks of life succeed. So I can, speaking from where I was to where I am now, I can definitely attest to that.
Now, Mia, you talked a little bit about, somebody said, you know, I came back, I felt inspired, I wanted to really start becoming part of the community here at HCC. And then somebody just said, why don't you apply? Why don't you try to be the SGA president? And it was like, why not? I'm pretty sure it wasn't that easy. And I'm pretty sure that somebody inside of you inspired you to take that jump, because it's a commitment. It's time. And also, you have to have a certain heart and a certain desire and a certain vision of what you want to do and why you're doing this. So talk to us a little bit more about that, that inspiration, where that came from, that made you say to that friend, sure, why not? Let me try.
So there was a couple people who had came to me about the SGA president stuff. And but the main person, it was a woman in financial aid. She had emailed me and she had asked, and we had talked a little bit more over email. And that interaction made me consider it a bit more seriously, I guess, just because it was reading through email. And then my current vice president, Karina, she was also like told, you should totally do this. And we were talking over the phone because we were both part of Society of Women in Engineering. And we had already worked together for a year. And we were talking on the phone and we were like, okay, well, if you do it, like, I'll be your vice president. If I do it, you'll be the one. And we were both like, okay, like, we both have visions and we both really, really like being here on campus. So as soon as me and Karina decided, okay, if we do this, we're going to do it together, we were in 100%. And as soon as I knew, like, okay, Karina's going to be there, I was like, okay, this feels a lot less intimidating, because it was extremely intimidating. And sometimes still the job is kind of intimidating because never done this before. And that's okay, because having Karina there to support me no matter what, like the other day, she was like, oh, you have to like present tomorrow on this. And I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And she was just there. And knowing that after a year of working with Karina in SWE, knowing that she was going to do this with me was more than enough to have me keep going.
What's your goal? What's your goal as SGA president? What is your mission? Where are you guys? When students look back and say, you know, Mahim and Karina, they were president and vice president. What do you want them to know? What do you want them to think about? Do you remember this about them?
So right now we're working on motivating people to start clubs and to perform, to gather student groups. And before my goal was more so to create more unity on campus, create a lot of conversation. And while that still is the goal, but right now me and Karina are really working to push people to find their group, so they can keep being motivated to come to campus. Right now, like, for students who are struggling academically or struggling somewhere else in life, like, having a group of people or having a club to come to school just to show up makes all the difference. So right now, the only goal is to make sure everybody wants to keep coming to campus. Everybody loves coming to campus. And, you know, everyone's, like, found their group of people. And right now that is the goal, because right now clubs are super important. We already have 23 clubs in the works, and hopefully it keeps going. So it's been a lot of fun, to say the least. And it's really fun seeing people find their people and get excited. So
now from you know, when you were running for president, you said something similar. You actually created a group of mentors, you know, where you said, I want to help students academically, but not just academically. I want to look at the emotional and the social aspect of students, and I want to bring supports for that, for them in all of those areas. What's inspiring you? Why is it important to you? And what difference do you expect that this will make in our students? How will this help them succeed if we're not just looking at the academics, but we're looking at all of the aspects? We're looking at the entire picture here for our students.
Simply because, you know, when I was 18 here at HCC, I wish there was something like that for me. Coming to school isn't just, it's not just being in your classroom and doing good grades. Like, here, the community we have at HCC, there is so much opportunity to have fun here, to have fun, do cool things, meet super cool, ambitious, smart people. And let me tell you, that makes all the difference. Like, it makes all the difference if you are struggling, like, financially, or, you know, like, there's things going on in other parts of your world that you kind of just, there's nothing that you can necessarily do about it or fix immediately. But coming to school, like, it should be a relief. Like, academia should be relieving and it should be fun. And, you know, people can get easily demotivated from it a lot, not because of the institution, but also because of, like, other circumstances in their life. So if one of those things that they look forward to is, like, coming to their community college campus, then so be it. And I guess, like, when I was 18, I wish, I really identify with that. So, yeah, I guess that's why I think that would be a super good thing to do.
Let me ask you maybe a challenge. Let me throw a challenge your way. You've talked about the importance of finding your group, finding your people, right? And we are living in a society where we are doing that, right? Where we're finding our people, finding our group. I guess the problem that we're having as a society is really how to come together, right? How to bring all of these groups into a safe ground where we can all coexist. As the president of the SGA here at HEC, tell us a little bit about that. Tell us a little bit about how you're bringing people together. First, you're doing something beautiful, helping them find their people. How do we not stay in our bubbles? How do we bring our bubbles together and make it safe and good for everybody?
So from the perspective of being a student leader, the first thing you can always do is just offer humility and offer some sort of vulnerability. Because people, what I've noticed is people just take a second to initiate themselves into a conversation. People take a second to come forward. And, you know, it's a very vulnerable thing to, like, go up to somebody and say, like, hey, I want to work with you. Let's talk together. And, kind of like, as a student leader, all you can do is, like, just do your best to show, like, hey, I'm willing to, like, speak up and show I want to do this and care about this. There might be a chance this doesn't work. There might be a chance that I might totally fail at this, and that's okay. But just offering spaces where students are able to just be vulnerable and, like, be okay with facing, like, any sort of rejection almost, because I wonder if, like, I guess the people in general, not just students, like, I think people tend to just be on guard, and to get people to open up, it's like, okay, like, you can just face it. Like, if you want to talk to somebody, if you want to join something, just face it and it'll probably be okay. And I think me and Karina have faced a lot of that. And that's okay. Like, Karina, she started SWE and she didn't know how it was going to work, and she took a risk, and now she has a group of people, and Yeah, sorry, I don't really know where I was going with that. But the point is, like, it's just to allow students to be vulnerable and also, like, show a good amount of humility yourself as a student leader so other people can follow.
Yeah, I hear you. And, you know, you're talking about opening up, becoming vulnerable, knowing and hoping that faith, that good faith that you're showing to that other person who maybe, you know, maybe they are in the same group, maybe they're in a different group. You're just hoping that they will have that same good faith towards you so that we can come together, appreciate our differences. You talked about diversity here on campus. And like you said, I mean, it comes in so many ways. It's not, we're used to talking about diversity and thinking over the colors of our skins or where we're coming from. But diversity is really so much more than that. And you can really see it here at HEC. All you have to do is come one day to campus and just watch, you know, just observe, and you'll see that diversity comes in many, many ways, and that everybody has a space, a safe space here at HEC. And you know, you guys are providing them with opportunities to find their people and at the same time come together with other people so that hopefully we can translate that, you know, outside of HEC as well. You're talking about Sweden. You've said you've mentioned that a couple of times. I would be remiss not to ask you what the club is.
It's the Society of Women in Engineering, and it actually had to start virtual because of the pandemic. But Karina had started back up here at HCC, and a bunch of girls joined. Not just women who are engineers, a bunch of girls who were STEM majors, and it was a very, very good safe space, because this is a group of women taking really hard classes, and everyone comes from diverse walks of life, whether like someone may be a mother, somebody may be working full time and they're just coming to school at night. It was just a really good space for everybody to just come and relate to each other. Like, yeah, man, like Cal 3 is hard. And it was really fun, and watching Karina create that one group safe space definitely motivated me to come and be at SGA. And it was really good that Karina was willing to do it too, because she already knew how. And now we're doing it on a much bigger scale, and we're like pushing other people to start clubs. So.
And that's great, that support, that, you know, that helping hand that inspire you to do something. You guys continue to do it together, and now you're bringing more people, that safe space that you were talking about, finding your people, but then extending and opening up for more people. Mia, what makes a good leader? In your opinion, what makes a good leader?
I get asked this a lot. Like, everybody really likes this question. In my opinion, I don't think I know. And I think it really does matter for where you are. I think in education at a community college, a good leader should be humorous. They should offer vulnerability. They should be very approachable, and just really empathetic. I know that is what's worked for me, and that's what works here for community colleges. I don't want people to think like you have to be like super outspoken or confident, because no, like I really do believe anyone can be any sort of leader in any sector. Just right now, like here in community college, I feel like these are the factors that I believe would make me a good leader. But if you're somebody who's like shy and but you like have these sort of goals, you can also be a leader. So I don't know, the good leader question really gets me, because it's like, you know, anything can be a good leader. As long as you're not like mean or immoral about things and you have good ethics, you can be a good leader.
And that's why we ask you that question, because we want to empower people through your answer. We want maybe somebody who's listening and falls in that category of shy, maybe never thought of themselves as a leader. You just empower them. You just told them, guess what? You can be a leader. You can find your people, you can find your group, you can find where you are, and you can be that leader in that space that you're in. So thanks for answering that question. Another question that I want to follow up with that is, you know, here we have two diverse women leading SGA here at Howard Community College. Why is it important that this happens more? Why do we need to have more diverse women in leadership roles, not just at the community college, but in our community in general?
Oh my gosh. There isn't enough women who are given the opportunity. Many women are intimidated out of doing it simply because of their gender, because of where they are in life. And it's just not fair. Like there are brilliant, ambitious women out there every single day who are being offered microaggressions or being talked down to simply because of like their outward identity. And it's like, it's unfair and it's invalidating and it crushes like some brilliant women. So right now, both of us being on here, whoever's listening, like if you were somebody who has faced like any sort of microaggression telling you can't do it or you can't do anything, it just don't think about it. Like I know that's hard to just say, but it's not fair. And for some reason, I've always noticed women in any sort of leadership position or women who are trying to climb the hierarchy in their industry, they're always so much more criticized. They're criticized so much more harshly. They are always talked down to, and it's not fair. But to any other women out there, if you're watching me and Chris, just know that you can do it. And truth is, like, people are always going to talk, but it doesn't matter. And you shouldn't let that stop you from pursuing anything. Thank you for asking that question. That's really important. That's
absolutely
super good question.
Absolutely.
Oh my God.
So if you know, let's stay in that, because I can see that this is dear and near to your heart, right? What are you looking forward to in thinking about? You know, we've had Hillary Clinton being a candidate for presidency here in the States. She didn't win. We see more and more our current vice president is a female, first time. We're seeing this more and more and more, right? What do you think? What's your expectation of, you know, maybe that time when we have the first female president of the United States? What would you like to tell that person if you had that conversation with that person, right? If you could sit down, or maybe if you're going to be that person, right? Maybe that's where you're going from here. What difference is that going to make? How are we going to improve as a country? Making you dream here, Mia, giving you all the space to dream.
As a woman who is also just also trying to climb, also trying to do better, the truth is there's always somebody out there who thinks they can do better. They think the position you're in, they think they can do better than you. And, you know, the point is just not to listen to, if you are a female leader, I would always listen to the ones who support you and give you positivity. And us as a society, like we need to take a second, and criticism is okay in some way. Criticism is good if it makes a good leader, but criticism is not okay when it only pertains to like a person's gender or a person's anything to do with like a person's identity. You know, like criticism, if you want to make somebody perform better, and if you want to offer constructive criticism to a certain leader or of whatever gender, I would just hope people take a second to think, like, you know, this person is trying their best, and to also be really empathetic. And if I was talking to the person who is in that leadership position, I would say, keep going, do what you're doing, and listen to the people who support you and are genuinely motivated to see you do well. And that's really important for any type of female leader out there, or any female or male in school, really, but especially female leaders.
You know, I love that you bring it back to anybody who's out there who wants to be a leader, like throughout our conversation, I have been able to see your heart and you really want people to succeed. I can see that, you know, being a female leader, this is an important topic to you and you're very passionate and care a lot about it. But I also see that you want to level. That's really what you're trying to do. You just want a level play field for everybody. You want to empower women to get on that field, and you just want it to be level for everybody. What's your message today, Mia, for everybody who's listening, for everybody who's watching? What is that one thing that maybe you want them to take with them after our conversation, after they watch and listen to us today? What's the one thing you would like them to remember?
Oh, that's hard. Three things. Always try to have fun in what you're doing. Be willing to face rejection and failure. And just because somebody says you can't do it, you don't have to listen to them whatsoever. So yeah, probably just those three things. Have fun, be willing to face rejection and failure, and just because somebody criticizes you and tells you you can't do it, it doesn't mean anything.
And after our conversation, the message that I take, that I've learned today from you is that you can start again, right? That the past does not define you. You came back, you retook classes, you restarted your career, and here you are today as the SGA president at Howard Community College. Congratulations for that. I cannot wait to see how else you continue to bring people together and how else you continue to empower them to continue to move forward, growing not just academically, but as persons in their careers. How can people get in touch with you? How can people get in touch and get to know more about the SGA, keep up with whatever you guys are doing, and stay in touch?
So first things first, we are in the student life sector of the Clark Library building. It's right by the garage, and we are open every single day from 9 to 5. Most of the time I am there, Karina is there, and you can come in the door anytime and talk to us. And I kid you not, it happens all the time and we love it. Say hi in the hallways. It's always so fun. Like it feels really nice when someone's like, oh, hello, you're Mia. And I'm like, oh, hello, yes. And it's always good. So never think like you can't approach me or Karina or anyone on the SGA team. Tanishka, Camilla, Ozioma, like we're all here to talk to you guys and are all super motivated to be here on campus. If you guys are interested, we would love to have you at the next SGA meeting, which I believe is on a Friday in the second week of October in Dragon Commons. And this week for Dr. Kate Hetherington, we will be at, tomorrow we're gonna actually be at the on the quad for the food truck fest. So SGA will be there. And also there's free food, so you should also come to that.
Free food always brings people, right? Brings people together. Thank you so much, Mia, for sharing the space with you, for sharing this time with me. I really appreciate it. Thank you for becoming vulnerable, for putting yourself out there, and for really trying to bring strong community here at Howard Community College, for inspiring our students, myself, and I'm sure our faculty and staff who get to interact with you are getting inspired as well by your heart and by everything that you're trying to do here at HEC. And thank you everybody for listening. Thank you everybody for watching. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. for your theater update. And if you're catching this on Facebook, share it with your friends, share it with your family. Let the voice of our student, our president here at HEC be heard. I think the message that she brought today is inspiring, and it can really start to plant some seeds of change in our community, in our youth, and everybody who is here at Howard County. Have a wonderful day. Enjoy your Monday. And until next time, I am Cris Oviedo.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.